Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Main Menu Live this week. Yes, we're live during the first hour of Main Menu because of our special guest and because of the time change and all of that kind of fun stuff. Tonight, we have Larry Skukan on with us. He's from the American Printing House for the Blind, and he joins us to talk about all things related to the new things happening at American Printing House for the Blind, including the new Bookport, too, among other things. So, before we get started, let's bring on my co-host, Daryl Chiandro. Hello, Daryl. How's it going?
Oh, great. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Daryl. And good evening, Larry.
Well, good evening, Daryl, and the rest of you, and Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here. I feel like I'm at home when I'm talking with you guys.
Yeah, well, much of text, you know. And we have lots of listeners out there already. And I'm going to let the callers know now that we're not going to be taking calls right now because we want to get a little bit of information to you first. So, put the phone down. We already actually got an attempted call, and I have disconnected that one for right now. Again, if you're calling in right now, you're not going to get through. So no sense in trying to do that at the moment. We're going to be opening up the phone lines here in about 5 or 10 minutes or so. And what we would like to do, if we can, is to stay on topic with each product that we're going to be talking about. And if we can do that, that would be fantastic. So we have a lot to get to tonight, and I thought what we would do, Daryl and I put together a little bit of an outline. I think we sent you the announcement, right, Larry?
You did indeed.
Okay, great. So you should be... we have a very persistent caller. Let's bring this caller on real quick here and let them know. Because it's all right. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live. Oh, they went away. All right. Well, that's fine. So, Larry, first of all, you're going to be at CSUN this year, I take it.
Absolutely. In fact, a big part of our crew is going to be there because we're introducing one of the products talking about this evening. And we've got a lot of presentations and going to be a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully you'll be next door to us again. And
I hope so.
That was kind of funny. That was last year Larry was staying in the room right next door to Daryl and I.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny, actually. So one of the new products that you're going to be talking about is the new Icon Braille Plus. And now we had Mark on about the Icon, so a lot of Main Menu listeners are already familiar somewhat with the Icon, but do you want to tell people what the Icon is, and then we'll get right into what you're offering with the Braille Plus part of the Icon?
Sure. Well, it's difficult to describe the Icon in a short amount of time. It's really, I consider it to be a pretty revolutionary tool. It's basically a mobile manager or a PDA, a personal data assistant, that you hold in your hand like a phone. In fact, it's got a telephone keypad on it and a telephone earpiece. It's also got stereo speakers, so you can use it as a kind of a boombox or an iPod. And that 30 gig drive in there really helps out with that. Also, the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connectivity make it pretty easy and painless to transfer data back and forth or browse the web or grab podcasts or whatever you want to do. It's really, we kind of refer to it internally as a laptop in your pocket. It is that powerful. And met up with Level Star last year at CSUN, in fact, because APH was designing a very similar PDA. But as soon as I saw the icon, I said, hey, we need to talk. We're doing the same thing, and we should join forces instead of competing with each other. And it worked out great for us because they actually, Level Star, was about a year ahead of us in development. And they were amenable to the idea of, well, you know, being the American Printing House for the Blind, we are big into Braille. And we wanted to integrate Braille into this device. So what we did was shrunk their center keypad and then surrounded it on the left and right with some very nice ergonomic Braille keys. And what you do is turn it 90 degrees clockwise from its normal operating position, and you've got a very nice input system. And, you know, the fact is, when you're dealing with a PDA, whether it's a cell phone or what, the hard part of them is typing in them. You know, you're never going to write a novel on your cell phone. But with this device, you could, and expect you will. So that's what the Braille Plus is. It's an icon plus Braille. Now, we took the Braille task in sort of two steps. And step one was introducing input into the device and navigation using the Braille keyboard. So it's, you know, all the chord commands that you know and love from the Braille speaker in there. And we've actually expanded that logical system, so you know, you've got your character, word, and line, and your top and bottom of file. We also added where you can do home and end and page up and page down with chords, and they're sort of in patterns, so it's kind of easy to remember with the existing chord structure. In fact, all the buttons on the icon and any key that you can produce on IBM 101 keyboard can be produced with the keyboard on the Braille Plus using chords, and it's also got a shift and a control key right next to the space on the well, you'd call it on the right side if you were holding it like a phone. So that is basically what the Braille Plus is. It's all our developers are working together on the same things, and everybody has great input. Mark Mulcahy, I think we all know, is a genius. Doesn't do him credit, but he's also a great guy to work with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, open to ideas, and you know, and knows. Oh, it's incredible what the guy knows, especially about this device.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Larry.
This device is it's incredibly complex from a software and a hardware point of view, but from the user point of view, it's so simple to use. You you know, once you know where the keys are, you're off with it, and there's, you know, nothing can stop you.
That's
very
awesome.
Cool little device.
Now, Mark hinted at some software additions that you're developing in-house at APH for it. Including things like an RSS reader and a podcatcher and these types of things, and you can shoot me at CSUN if we weren't supposed to mention these things, but he sort of even discussed them a little bit on Main Menu, but not too much.
No, that's fine. They're in there. The podcast receiver and the RSS reader are actually one program, and they're in there.
Great. Now, are they in the product, or are these desktop tools?
Nope, they're right in the product. They're built right in.
Okay. Oh, great.
Pretty much everything you need to do is built right in. And if it's not, one of the things that we're doing at CSUN now, or next week, is giving a presentation on how to develop for the icon. So Mike, another genius, it's incredible the talent working on this thing. Mike McDonald at APH has written a programming environment. So this whole thing runs on the Python language, and
ooh.
You know, we have this, it's called Developer, and it's available for download on the Icon and Icon Braille Plus user site. set up.
Oh my gosh!
I'll kind of just extra
Very
stuff.
Cool.
Geekyville.
Yeah, and you know, that's just, you know, using its own interface gives you enough to do. But if you really want to get into it, this is the kind of thing you can do. But the developer in the Python language, I mean, it's going to make it very easy to add functionality to this and integrate it right into the system. So I see people coming up with some pretty interesting, you know, maybe some mathematical navigation type applications or some awesome sound editing software, financial
cool.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right in your pocket, ready to go.
Okay, well, we need to dispel one of the myths that's been floating
okay.
around, and that is this going to replace the book port?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good.
And before I get to that, let me explain a little more about it. I didn't get to phase two of our Braille plan.
Sure, all right.
Which is a Braille display.
Okay.
And we are going to start with support for some of the Bluetooth displays out there. And eventually the idea is, you know, first start with, like I said, the support of third-party Braille displays, but eventually we'd like to either develop or work with a manufacturer to develop both a one and a multi-line display that would actually not physically be in the same plastic case as the device, but would be connected to the device maybe with a leather case or something like that, so that, you know, if you upgrade your icon in 2 or 5 years, that Braille display is still going to be a valuable tool.
And oh, yeah.
Separated, you know, and plus, well, you know, you can take that and use it with other things.
So. Yeah, especially as expensive as Braille displays are.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, about the book port. No, not at all. The book port is a specific tool that does an awesome job at what it does.
Okay.
I mean...
Okay, we'll get to the book part as far as book port 2, but I just wanted to make sure that people understood, because there was some discussion on the book port list and actually other lists as well, where people were concerned that you know, the Icon Braille Plus was, you know...
Now, I do have a related question, Larry. Is the book port going to be based on any of the technology from the Icon? I think kind of part of the issue, perhaps, too, or the confusion.
Well, and see, one of the reasons we had this discussion internally as well, and one of the reasons is the book port is a much cheaper device than
right.
the Braille Plus and the Icon. It's you know, it doesn't have a hard drive in it, doesn't have Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, that stuff all costs money. The book port really is based on all new technology. It's very similar. Well, let's wait and get to.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to open up the phone lines if people want to call in and ask about the Icon Braille Plus, and then we'll be talking about the book port 2 next. So if you want to call in and ask Larry any questions, the number tonight is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And we have a lot of listeners out there tonight, so I'm sure there's going to be at least a couple questions about that. But honestly, we've hyped a lot about the book port too, so many of them are here for that as well. So,
the MSN Messenger address is mainmenu@acbradio.org.
Yeah, you can add that to your Messenger, and Daryl is monitoring the Messenger tonight. Thank you, Daryl. And if you have any questions, you can shoot them that way as well. And we're also here tonight on the phone line, 866-400-5333. And we have a caller. Let's bring the caller in here. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Larry. Daryl. It's Glenn calling from New York.
Hello, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
How are you?
Hello there, Glenn.
Right.
It's an honor to speak to you, Larry. Great work you do.
How can we help you tonight, Glenn?
I have several questions. One regarding the Braille Plus Icon. Do you anticipate protected WMA and Audible and RFBND, things that you've brought into the book port to being ported over to the Braille Plus?
Man, we'd be nuts if we didn't do that. Absolutely. No question about it. Yep.
Okay, good. Anything else, Glenn?
Yeah, and additionally, I know you have a difference in hardware, but do you anticipate any differences in software between the Icon and the APH product?
Actually, we have very few differences in the hardware, even. The only difference is the keys.
Right.
The software is exactly the same on both devices. There's all the developers are all working on the same code base. That's what makes this synergy in this product so so fast. We're looking at versions of software that you know, if you looked at it a week ago, it's wow, they've done a lot in a week.
Absolutely. I have the Icon, and I can completely agree with everything you've said so far. So
okay, all right. Yep. Anything else, Glenn?
I know you were mentioning about developing other applications. What about instant messaging applications? I know that's a laptop function that really, as far as PDAs, most of them now have it. So
instant messaging.
We don't currently have an IM, instant messenger, for those of you that aren't into the lingo, but we certainly plan to do one at some point, or you know, it could happen that somebody could, you know, just out there in the community could develop one fairly quickly.
With your architecture,
With
your architecture, you probably could do something with Jabber, which probably could handle the cross communication with the different instant messaging platforms. Okay, Glenn, thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye-bye. 866-400-5333. 866-400-JEFF. So can
we have an instant message coming in from Tina.
Okay, go right ahead, Daryl.
She asks, on what flavor of Linux is the Icon based, and will it run Pico, the text editor?
It's based on open embedded version of Linux, and I should know the version number off the top of my head, but it's one of the very latest versions of Linux. We're keeping up with all the operating system and ancillary system software as it's being developed too, because there's a lot of exciting stuff happening in that world as well.
Great.
And what about Pico?
I haven't seen Pico, but you could compile one for it. I've seen an Emacs and another editor that I hadn't heard of before.
How about VI?
Of course, VI. Oh yeah, that comes on there.
Oh, it wouldn't be a Unix box if it didn't have VI on it.
That's true.
Oh boy.
Well, and speaking of the console, we've got SpeakUp screen reader built into it when you go into the console.
Oh, that's great.
Kirk's actually been very involved in this whole project.
Wow.
That's awesome. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
It's me?
It is you.
Okay, this is Gene Carey, Larry. Now, we used to call you Larry Scootcom. Is that correct or not correct?
Scootcom, yep.
Okay. I'm calling because I really want to congratulate you and say thanks for all the work you did on Apple IIe DOS and the program WordTalk.
No, I didn't do WordTalk. I did Words.
Say again?
He did ProWords.
He did ProWords.
ProWords, okay. No. Yeah, it's been too long to know what you
word.
Did. But you did a lot. You know, you mentioned what your involvement is with the programming, if there is any. This new stuff.
I didn't hear you.
He wants to know, Larry, what kind of involvement you have in the actual programming of all of the new products that are coming out. And can we go ahead and take your call off the air or on the air there?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sadly enough, I don't get to do any programming.
Oh, that's very sad, Larry.
It is, because I love it. But you know what? I think once we get this developer and this rich, you know, very speech-friendly developing environment, I'll probably start doing some little applications for it, too, and that.
Yeah, that would be fun for you.
That's one of the loves of my life, is programming.
How do you handle the Python programming language with the indentation requirement?
Oh, boy.
Well, that's why this developer program is so interesting, because it, you know, it automatically indents for you and lets you move from indention level to indention level. And
which editor is that, Larry?
The one we're developing, called Developer.
Okay,
it's
so
an editor and a, yeah, it'll launch your programs for you.
Oh, oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, is that is
going to be sure and catch that?
Yeah, is that going to be something
that catch that presentation?
I'll definitely do that. Is that going to be something that you'll also be able to program for other, you know, type of Python projects on the PC platform, or is it strictly going to be for the Icon Braille Plus?
You certainly could program for anything. Of course, you'd have to send it over to your target machine to compile it and everything. Well, you could. Well, actually, you could probably run cross compilers on this too. But yeah, you could do all your writing on this.
Cool.
And you know, in C or. In fact, I'm going to start doing my manuals. I do most of the manual writing over there, and I'm going to start doing them all on this thing. I mean, it's much easier.
That's
cool. We
have
some questions coming in as well.
We do, and we have a caller. Let's bring the caller in first, and then we'll take the questions from Messenger. Hello, caller, and welcome to MeMenu Live.
Wow, all my favorite techie people in one place at one time. This is Nirvana.
Marlena.
I just want to know, first of all, hello to Larry, and I can't wait to see you with CSUN.
Same here.
I just want to know if the price point for the Icon Braille Plus is the same as for the Icon, and I'll hang up because I broke the dialing button trying to get into this show tonight.
Yes.
Great show, Jeff.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Go ahead. Go ahead, Larry.
Exactly the same price, $13.95, and that's $1,395.
Wow.
95 cents.
Wow, that, so you didn't have to raise the price?
No, we got, you know, at the printing house, we're about trying to get a product out there at a, you know, a reasonable product for a reasonable price.
I'm very surprised by that. I mean, I would think even $100 to cover the cost of, you know, the keys and the manufacturing process of getting those embedded into the, you know, into the device. You know, wow, that's.
Well, I'm not saying it's staying at 13. It's a steal, though. So
yeah, no kidding.
It is a deal.
Okay, hey Daryl, hold on 1 second because we got another caller, and because they already are here, let's go ahead and take them. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Yes, I have two questions.
Okay.
Is there anything that the book port will do that the Icon will not do? And two, do I understand you correctly on the Icon Braille that the keys are in a Perkins format rather than, if I've understood Icon, they're kind of upside down, wrong way, which? You know, as far as
right.
Dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay, we're going to let you listen on the air, okay?
Fine.
Okay, great. Okay, Larry, go right ahead.
Yeah, we'll start with the first one. Yeah, there's a lot of things the book port does that the Icon doesn't do. Because the book port does one thing. It reads books. And it does it well. I suspect that the software in the Icon will catch up to what the book port does. But, you know, today, yeah, the book port, if all you want to do is read books and, you know, not interested in getting on the web or do an email or anything like that. Yeah, Bookport's a lot cheaper. And your second question, yeah, they are in a Perkins layout. Like I said, you turn the device 90 degrees clockwise, and they're actually not exactly in a straight line. They're ergonomic, and there's a little dip in the middle. It's very, very nice feeling keyboard. It kind of reminds you of a ThinkPad type of keyboard. So yes, they are in the Perkins style. You can also do the Braille on the telephone keypad too if you want to. In fact, one of the neat things about using the Icon or the Icon Braille Plus, either one, is a lot of times you want to use it one-handed. You know, you might have it on your belt or sitting on the table next to you, and you got coffee in your other hand or whatever, or your other hand on your keyboard. So it's very convenient. You know, you can do most things on it one-handed.
I wouldn't want to get coffee near it.
Well, I'm talking on the other hand.
Oh.
No, you don't want to. You don't want to spill any coffee.
No, I poured a big glass of water in my laptop, so I don't get any liquid near any portable things anymore.
Knock on wood, I have not done that.
Oh. thank God for.
I shouldn't even say that.
Yeah, thank God for buying extended warranties.
There you go.
Holy cow. Okay, Daryl, we do have a caller, but let's, only because we've kind of been delaying the questions from the MSN side. Caller, if you can just hold on a second, plus we've heard your computer in the background, so you need to turn that down for us. And so while you're doing that, we'll take the questions from MSN Messenger, and we'll be back with you, caller, in just a minute. So just hang in there. Go ahead, Daryl.
Scott Erickson has a couple of questions. First, will overseas customers be able to order the Icon Braille Plus directly as they have been able to with the Bookport? And sure. Two, will it be available by the end of 2007?
It'll be available on April 16th of 2007.
Okay. And they can order it directly?
Absolutely. Anybody can buy any of our products.
That's sometimes not with some of the... dealers or manufacturers, that's not the case, I think. So the reason for the question there. So.
Okay.
And then, do you want to take the caller now, or do we want to take another MSN?
How many more MSNs you got?
I've got one more.
Okay, let's go ahead and take that.
All right. I believe this is from Matthew. Is the Bookport? We'll ask that question later, Matthew. Sorry.
Okay,
that's
fine.
I have no more.
Okay, let's bring in the caller, and then I think, we'll be ready to move on to the Bookport 2. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello, I'm glad I was able to get in. John McCann here from Falls Church, Virginia, and I just wanted
Hello,
to
John.
Ask. I have always like listening to you guys. Don't get to do it often enough, but I have the Icon myself, and I was wondering, will there be a docking station capacity with the Icon?
Great question.
Braille Plus at any point?
Okay.
Forgive me for not mentioning that, because that is a critical component of this system. And what John's talking about here is that there is or will be available a full-size keyboard both in Braille and in QWERTY. And the Icon or the Braille Plus plugs directly into the side of it, sort of like a videotape would. Hold on. Like a videotape would. Are you all still hearing me?
Yep.
Absolutely.
We can hear you fine.
What it does is the docking station just surrounds the Icon or the Braille Plus, and that becomes the brains and the hard drive for it, and then you've got a full-size keyboard about, you know, the size of your traditional note-takers in our field, like maybe...
That would give you direct, like, RJ45 Ethernet conductivity if you didn't want to go wireless
sure will,
for whatever reason.
Plus a dial-up modem. And about four times the battery life.
Battery life, yeah.
Nice speakers, too.
Great.
Nice stereo speakers right on the top of it.
Oh. And I have another question from MSN.
Okay, John, we're going to let you go. And thank you very much for calling in. Go ahead, Daryl.
Let me also say that product is probably going to be about, and, you know, prices aren't solid yet, $395 for either one, the QWERTY or the Braille one.
Yeah, I think Mark mentioned about it being about that price, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, so Chris wants to know is what synthesizer is going to be included? Is it going to be Eloquence, and will there be additional synthesizers supported in the future?
Yep, it is Eloquence. We are probably going to offer DeckTalk as an add-on if you want to get it. I don't have any pricing details or timelines for that yet. But yeah, that's there is the possibility that there are others too. But we, you know, we don't have anything in the active planning besides DeckTalk.
All right.
All right. We do have another caller here on the line. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live. Oh, I think they actually hung up. Okay, any other questions that have come in from MSN, Daryl?
We have a Bookport question, but no more on the icon.
Okay, all right. Well, before we move away from icon, and that doesn't mean people can't call in and ask questions about it, we'd be happy for you to do that for sure. Larry, did you want to mention anything else before we move on to Bookport 2?
I sure do. One of the things that probably people ought to know is just kind of what the applications are on this thing, and one other design feature that I think is sort of that makes this device stand out from the others, and that is there's a little button on the side of it that transfers the sound from the little stereo speakers on each side of it to the headset, so you can use it as a phone.
Oh, wow.
So if you're in a meeting or somewhere noisy, and instead of, you know, listening to it like this, you just push this little button on the side, and now it's coming out of the little earpiece.
Yeah, we can hear that.
Yeah, I've got the phone held right up to that earpiece. Then you hit the button again, and you're back to your speakers. So that way, if you're in a meeting and you need to look up a piece of information, you just hold it like a phone up to your ear and use the telephone keypad and the arrows and to get around the interface.
Right.
One other thing I got to show you is...
While you're getting ready for that, Larry, I'm going to let the caller know. Caller, we can hear your audio of your computer, and so you're on delay a little bit there. So you're actually on the phone with us, but you need to turn the computer down, and you need to listen on your phone. And we'll get with you as soon as Larry's done here. So if you can do that for us, that would be fantastic. Go ahead, Larry.
One of the most awesome things about this little device is the music player. So when you go into it, you know, this is totally accessible, of course. Everything on here is. You can browse by songs, artists, and you notice each menu item has a number. You can just dial those numbers on the telephone keypad at any time, too. So, you know, if you ever want to get into the word processor, you just hit 51, and bam, you're in there. But anyway, because it's on the fifth item down, the tools menu, and then the first item in there is number one, word processor. So, but anyway, let's list our songs here. Let me do one thing that I never thought I would like in a device like this, but I've always got this hooked up to my stereo now or my headset on the computer, and I like to play just random. I never would have thought I would enjoy that. So the first option is play all. So let's see what comes up here. I hope it's nothing too embarrassing. We can turn it up a little bit. You also can control the speech and the audio volume independently.
Now, do you have speech while the audio is playing?
Oh, yeah. In fact, let's see what this song is here. Let's just... Now, unfortunately, we happened to pick one that doesn't have an ID3 tag, so it just gave us the path to it. But let's just move to the next song. All right. Let's see what this is.
Larry's rocking and rolling.
Actually, that one didn't have a tag either. Let's go.
Wow.
Okay, well, let's
why am I picking? I'm sorry.
That's okay, that's fine. Let's go ahead and bring our caller in here. They've been on hold here for a while. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello,
go right ahead.
I have a couple of questions about the book port.
We're not ready to talk about the book port yet. Do you have an icon question at this time?
Oh, no, I thought they were talking about the book port.
No, not yet.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll be talking about that in about 5 minutes or so. We're going to let Larry finish up on the icon, and then you can call in and ask all your questions about the book port, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, great, thank you. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I'm just dialing up 43 here for the RSS reader, or I could have arrowed through the menus. Just kind of wanted to show you the interface on this, and I'm actually not sure what state my machine is in, whether I've got data on here or not, because one of the things that we do is to test them.
Oh, of course.
And load it.
Okay, well, while you're looking at that, let's bring the caller in here. We have another caller. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live. Do you have a question for Larry about the Icon Plus tonight?
Hi, Jeff. It's Dave in Dunedin, New Zealand, so we're about as far south as you're going to go.
All right.
In civilization, anyway.
All right. Well, welcome to Main Menu Live.
Just a couple questions for Larry, and I do...
we'll let you slide if you want to ask a
book port
question.
I use the note taker and the alarm function on it today to remind me to tune into the show, so it's working very well. The Icon Braille Plus is what you're talking about, and my two questions are, Braille, what kind of Braille are we talking about here? Are we talking about contracted Braille? Are we talking about computer Braille as we already have on the book port? And my second question is, what provisions, if any, are you making in the Icon Braille Plus for dealing with UDB?
Okay, and Dave, did you have any questions in reference to the book port while we have you here, since you're calling definitely from quite a distance here? Did you have any specific questions about the book port too, Dave?
No, just about
those
the Icon Braille Plus.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to give you the option.
And the same question about the book port too as well.
Okay, great.
Any provisions for dealing with UDB?
Okay, can we let you listen on the air?
Yep.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks for calling in tonight. All right, Larry, go right ahead, Larry.
Yeah, absolutely. We have full integration of contracted Braille into this device. In fact, it comes, the Braille Plus, one of the very small differences in the software between the Icon and the Icon Braille Plus is that the Braille Plus comes by default with the input method set to contracted Braille, which means anytime you start a new document, you can type in grade 2, and it will keep it that way. All the documents on the device, this actually has a pretty powerful word processor because you can mix Braille and text and audio and other kinds of objects. You can also write in Braille and then reverse translate it out to a text file or whatever you want to do. But, yeah, as you type, you'll hear something like this. Well, I'm not in Braille mode, so I'll press a hotkey to get into Braille. now as I type, well, I'm not picking very many contracted words. Oops.
I see it expanded the AR sign.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now let's read that line. We'll just press the regular familiar .1 chord.
My name is Larry.
And we can review it with the chord of the 1 and 4. Well, if I had that version of the software, we could. But
talk about development in progress.
The perils of beta testing.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, we still got till April 21st, and it is in there. I just referred it back.
Well, that's all right.
Earlier today, but there are some places I want to be honest with you that you cannot type computer Braille. Contracted Braille into, like an email address or a web address or a file name even.
Well, that makes sense though.
Ambiguities. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
grade two.
How are you going to type an at sign in grade two?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. We have another. Oh, UEB Braille.
Oh yeah, the Braille translation system on this device has open tables and a compiler, so the user will have the ability to edit the tables and put whatever code support you want to, or not necessarily. necessarily the user. Anybody can do it. We don't have a timeline for doing anything like that right now, but I think if someone was interested in doing it, it wouldn't be that hard to do.
Well, I think the other thing to remember here is that really you're really wanting to drive home the point that you want user community involvement. And if you don't have it now, then Dave can do it for you. And who's to say that you wouldn't include it on the website or even include it in the product, huh, Larry?
That's exactly right.
That's right. All right.
Dave wanted, and we found it to be reliable and accurate. Absolutely.
Let the open source vision keep going here. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello there. Good evening, everyone, Larry and Jeff and everybody. I have a question, and a couple of questions, actually. I did understand correctly that the icon or that the Barrel Plus will include Linux.
It actually runs on the Linux operating system, but when you're using it just as a user, you never know that.
The reason I was asking was I was wanting to learn how to develop for the Braille Plus, and if I do consider purchasing it, and will there be a developer's manual put out there, maybe for like first time developers or who want to get into developing for the icon?
In fact, let me give you the website right now, which is http://tech, which is TECH, .aph.org/mm for mobile manager. So that's http://tech.aph.org/mm. There's,
Alrighty.
Like I said, the...
Okay, well, let you listen on the air, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Go ahead, Larry.
There's already a few things up there, that the source code and things you can download to add to it. And we got some forums there, and we plan on publishing, the programming interface and, making it easy. But right now, you can even look through and ask questions and
that's awesome.
Check it out.
Yeah,
very
well,
cool.
Once you get some polish to that, we'll have you back, and we'll have you and Mark back, or whomever you would like us to talk to about it, and we'll dive into programming the icon a little bit from a really high level, and boy, that would definitely be a geeky show for sure. But I think
small audience on that one.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that actually. We have quite an audience out there tonight, and. Python's not too difficult the language to program in. It's not too bad. For someone that really wanted to get involved in that, it wouldn't be too difficult. We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
All right. So am I on?
You are on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Name is Jay, and I'm in Miami.
Hello.
And actually, I have two questions.
Okay.
I heard Larry, and Larry, it's great to actually meet you over the phone, because I've actually uploaded a few podcasts to your Blind Cool Tech website. But anyway,
talking with you.
And I wanted to find out. I heard you typing on the Braille keyboard, and it sounded like you were going pretty fast. And to type on a Braille keyboard that fast, it has to be fairly sized. I was just wondering about the size of the keyboard. And I have another question, but just about, the size, and because I have pretty big hands. And
okay, why don't you ask your other question, and then we'll let you listen on the air, all right? Go right ahead.
Okay, the other question is about Braille and Nemeth code for mathematics. Have you guys, has anybody mentioned that and providing support for that in the...
I think that would go along with the Braille table support that you mentioned before, wouldn't it, Larry?
Well, we're thinking very heavily about math and Braille. I don't have any timelines on this yet either, but earlier I had alluded to a program that you could run on the device that would work with MathML or Nemeth Braille and lets you move through an equation just as if you move through text in a word processor.
Wow.
So you would be able to traverse to different parts of a complex equation or write some scratch pad. It wouldn't do the math for you. It's a tool for you to use to work with math. Now again, we hadn't even started on that, but that's some things we've been discussing. And you're right, the tables, Nemeth is a pretty complex set of rules. I don't know.
It'd be pretty cool to have something like the good old mathematics that was on the Apple II.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, and then he had a question about the size of the keyboard for someone that has pretty large hands. Like you, Larry, don't you have pretty big hands?
I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
160 pounds. I've got big hands.
Yeah.
This is a very, very comfortable to type on. It's, I should know these measurements, but it's roughly 6 inches from wide and, operating in the Braille position. So you've got room for six keys there. There's not much space between them, but
yeah.
They're very comfortable, very ergonomic.
Okay, great.
Is it NFB Trans that you're using for the Braille translator by chance?
Believe it or not, we are using, if you remember back in the Apple days, a program that Jeff Wheatley wrote called Easy Braille.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And he actually sold that to EasyTalk, and we bought it from EasyTalk. This has been several years ago, and we ported it to Windows, and that's what we're using on our bookport translation stuff and other software too.
Interesting.
And now it's ported over to Linux.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
That thing has been around.
Wow! We have another
great piece of code, though.
We have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Good evening, Jeff. Good evening, Larry.
Hey, Randy.
Yes, it is. I just wanted to ask two questions. One was on the word processing format side. What formats can documents be saved in, and can you set a default format that you want your documents always saved in so that you're not having to take an extra step to convert them? And the second question I have is what streaming can one do with this device, and which players will, what formats will be supported, and I'll take the question off the air.
You see, what really Randy wants to know is if he can listen to his baseball games on it.
Absolutely.
That's right. Okay, we'll let you listen on the air, Randy.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
How are the baseball games, what format are they in?
I think those are Real Media. I think they're Windows Media, Larry.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Okay. What about Real or MP3 or M3U?
No, I won't do Real.
Okay.
That's not to say that stuff won't be added. I actually honestly doubt if we'll do Real at any point. It seems to be losing. There's.
Yeah, popularity and things.
In market share, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then you had a question about the word processor.
The default format is its own native format, and it's, like I was saying earlier, it has the ability to store many kinds of objects, but you can also save or read Microsoft Word files, rich text, text, and BRF files.
Now, Larry, what about the new Office 2007 format, which is XML-based? Is that something that you guys might look at supporting, natively in the future?
Mark's going to shoot me because we were just talking about this the other day. It may have it in there already. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not that involved with that.
Well, we'll find out from Mark, and we'll let listeners know.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have a question from MSN.
Okay.
One from Tina.
Great, and then we're going to move on to the Bookport 2.
Okay, Tina says, what about database programming? Do we have any sort of database capability? She didn't mention this, but I'm thinking, MySQL or PostgreSQL or something like that.
It does have SQL. We don't really have an interface yet, for you to work with a database. Honestly, most of the data storage on the device, like for your emails or your song lists or whatever, are in SQL databases. So it's got integrated support for it, but we don't have, per se, a database program that a user could, you know, create their own database and manipulate their data.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really even have that on the drawing board yet. I mean, we've talked about it, but we've got a lot of things to tackle probably ahead of that one.
Okay, we're going to take one more caller in reference to the icon, and then we're going to move on to. Then we're going to move on to the Bookport 2 because, man, this time's going by quick. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live. And do you have a question for Larry about the icon?
I do.
Okay.
Hi, Larry. This is Keith Waxman in Tampa. And I'm just curious what the roadmap plans for any expansion of the icon as opposed to, in regards to the GPS and GSM functionality.
Okay, can we have you listen?
Online.
Okay, great. Thank you. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay.
Well, I didn't mention this at first because I didn't want to get people too excited, but this device, being shaped like a phone, that was one of its original intentions. So there's already connectors to insert a chip that'll make it GSM capable. We still have a lot of work to do with software and working out contracts with carriers and so forth. But
yeah, Larry, you got to get singular. So I could get it for $400 on a 2-year plan.
There you go. We have a question from Marlena.
I'd love to have one of them subsidized.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
That would be.
Okay, go ahead, Daryl, and then we're going to move on. Go ahead, Larry.
You will be able to actually. You know, if you bought one right now, you could send it back in and get it upgraded. I don't have a price yet. But same thing with the GSM. There's a socket in there that you can actually plug a chip in. That's the whole receiver.
Oh, for GPS?
GSM. I'm sorry, GPS.
Right.
Although, who knows? So, GPS might be next.
I am talking about GPS.
Oh, okay, GPS and GSM.
Yeah, Global Positioning System.
Okay.
Maps and a receiver to receive satellite signals to give you your position.
Okay.
That's not in there now, but there's connections in there to add one. And,
as well as the phone.
Yep.
Okay.
You're going to be able to upgrade it in two ways.
Wow.
That would be amazing.
Well, I don't know.
All this,
pretty cool stuff.
It's amazing to be able to carry all that pocket.
Yeah, I'm excited to actually see it. You know, I really have a hard time with dimensions. It's something that I really kind of struggle with, and so it really would be kind of neat to actually get one of these in my hands and actually see it. And I promised my wife that I would not spend anything over $200 at the show, so it won't be it won't be happening there unless I come back and sleep in the garage for about a month.
You have something to keep you busy there anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. Okay. Now, I know we have a question. I just wanted to mention here that we're not going to be taking MSN calls here for the next 10 to 15 minutes while Larry talks to us about the Bookport 2. So everyone sit back and relax while we hear some more information. But, Daryl, you do have another question?
Yeah, Marlena says, I have money talks. Can I sync transactions up to the icon?
Ooh, great, great question.
Not yet, but I suspect you will be able to someday in the fairly near future.
All right.
In fact, I kind of see, I'm not saying we're doing this or anything, but why not have money talks running on the icon? So that
well, that's what I was just going to say.
Enter your transactions while you're there at the store.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you could wirelessly sync up to your PC when you come home, and it would automatically sync your checkbook, and, there you go. Awesome, awesome.
You know, I should be ashamed, too. I didn't mention one of the very coolest parts of this whole system, and that is its very tight integration with Bookshare.org.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, we love Bookshare.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody does. So there's a library menu that contains a bookshelf, which is a reading program that you can read material, you know, while you're not connected to the web or whatever. And then there's a newsstand option that allows you to subscribe to the periodicals that Bookshare.org offers. So, of course, I'm subscribed to the Louisville Courier Journal and, you know, a few other things, New York Times, New Yorker, Washington Post. And each morning I can get up and press the menu option that says download subscriptions. And in about 2 or 3 minutes, I've got all those papers on my device, and I can then shut off my wireless connection and get on the bus or whatever, or have them for the day to browse through them. And it works out great because a lot of times you can just be like in a hotel lobby where there's some free Wi-Fi access and just get all your material right there while you're standing there. And the third application on the library menu is called Internet Book Search. And what it allows you to do is search the Bookshare.org collection and actually right then and there download the book that you found. You can browse by categories and just, you know, browse through the offerings, and anyone you see, you just hit the select button, and it downloads it, and a minute or two later, you're ready to start reading it. I should mention that Bookshare.org is just for U.S. citizens, and there is a subscription fee to join it, but if you want more information, you can go to Bookshare.org and check it out.
Very cool.
All right, so we're now going to move on to Bookport 2, and Daryl's going to be kind of leading the way on that one, and we'll be monitoring the phone lines here and bringing callers in. But again, we're going to wait a few minutes until we at least give you some information about the Bookport 2, and again, we're already getting a caller. People are chomping.
I have an icon question.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and
cut off the icon.
Yeah, I'm going to cut off the icon questions because not to say that people can't call in with them, but we do need to get going here on Bookport 2 since we're into the second hour already. So a caller that's trying to call in right now, sit back, relax, and wait about 5 or 10 minutes, and then we're going to start taking calls on Bookport 2 as well as icon if you'd like to continue to ask questions about that as well. So, okay, Daryl, go ahead and take it away.
Okay, Larry, so if you would give us about a, you know, 5-minute overview of the Bookport 2 from the perspective of someone maybe listening to the show who has not heard of a Bookport before.
Well, I'll just start out by describing what a Bookport is then, and it is nothing less than the best possible way you can be an avid reader. You can actually carry thousands of books on this device, whether they be text files, web pages, several other text formats, Braille. It also does audio files, though, like Audible.com, digital talking books from RFB&D, and Bookshare.org. Also does MP3s. It makes a great music player. It resembles a telephone. It's got 6 extra keys on it, so there's 18 keys on the device. And you control everything with those keys, and the whole interface is all, you're given feedback with synthesized speech. It actually uses the Double Talk speech synthesizer, if anyone wants to know that. But we took great pains to develop the software to make it convenient to use, fast to get to a book, and able to remember where you are in any book, set as many bookmarks as you want, search your books. In addition to all that, it also has the ability to take notes in Braille. Unfortunately, it's just computer Braille, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But it's a very powerful feature, and it also makes audio recordings. That, in a nutshell, is what the Bookport does. What you do is you send material to it from your computer. So we're talking about RFB&D books. You know, you get those in the mail on a CD. Well, you put that CD in your drive, connect up your Bookport. it sees that you've got an RFB and D CD there and asks you, you want to send this over to the bookport or how much of it do you want to send? And, you know, it just copies it from the CD.
Oh.
Of course, now the some of those formats like RFBND and Audible.com are protected with what's called digital rights management. So you're able to play them on your device with no restraints at all. But if you took the flash card out, which is what everything is stored in on the book port, it comes right now with a 512 megabyte flash, but most people are using 2 or 4 gigabyte cards, especially if you put a lot of audio on there. But yeah, if you took my card and put it into your book port, you know, it would not play that protected content, the Audible or the RFBND. You know, that's agreements that we've made with those manufacturers so that we've got it set up so that, you know, if you use it in a legal way, your own material, there's unparalleled access and navigation available to it. But at the same time, we can't just let you be copying it and stuff. So that's what the book port is. And anybody that has been involved with this project for the last few years knows that the development rate on this has been really rapid, too. You know, we were coming out with new versions regularly is an understatement, but lots of great new features added to it, and we want to keep adding features to it. That's why we're coming out with Bookport 2. We've actually run into the ceiling with this device on what we can do with it. You know, when we designed it so many years back, you know, we had no idea. Well, yeah, we had an idea, but of what was going to be available today. But that's what we want to do now, is switch over to some new hardware. And the Bookport 2 is really going to be, when you get the first version of it, it's going to do exactly what the Bookport 1 did. You'll have pretty much the same software in there. It won't be much new. There will be a couple of things like WMA support. And, you know, there's some new hardware, too, that you can take advantage of, like a microphone jack. A lot of people have asked for a speaker built into the device, so the Bookport 2 has got a speaker in it. A lot of people wanted rechargeable batteries. This device does have rechargeable batteries. They are user replaceable.
And you can charge it from the USB port, too.
Yep. Yep, and you can leave it connected to your computer, and instead of worrying about it draining the battery, it's actually charging your battery. So it'll also have the high-speed USB transfer, which will be a welcome addition to it. We're switching over to using Secure Digital for the storage instead of Compact Flash. And I think one of the coolest things about this is that it's about half as thick as the Bookport 1. It's the same dimensions vertically and horizontally, but the thickness of it is, if you do have an older Bookport, or a current Bookport, I should say, you can see a seam in the case there, and that's roughly the whole thing is, you know, where that seam is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very exciting device. Now, we're looking probably at having this Bookport 2 available in the July, August, September time frame. Hopefully, the sooner the better. I'm really shooting for July to have it, you know, if not at the summer conventions, just ready at any moment. We don't know about the price of it yet. We have done everything in our power to try to keep the price similar to what Bookport 1 was, which was $395, so it's a bargain in the technology world, especially for what it does. I kind of doubt that we're going to be able to make that, and that's one of the big hang-ups is, you know, we've done hardware redesigns a couple of times now, and but knowing, you know, what we want to do to this thing, there's some things that the Bookport 1 does not do that everybody wants it to, and we just don't have room to make it happen. And one of those I bet you know right off the top of your head is the ability to speed up the audio.
Mm-hmm.
So right now the way we're handling that is we let you speed it up as it's transferred to the device. So the drawback there is, of course, you've got one speed. It might be the one you want, but you're not going to be adjusting it once it gets on there. It turned out to have a nice side effect, though, which was a major compression in the file size because, you know, you're throwing away that audio that you're not listening to anyway. So that's, you know, that's one of the first things we want to get into this new hardware platform. As I said, when it's first released, it's going to have pretty much the same feature set with the, you know, an additional file format as the original BookPort. But we've got the capability to expand on it now. And you know, truthfully, some of the parts in the old BookPort are becoming more and more expensive, so there would have been a price hike on this device if it, you know, could still be continued to be available.
Larry, I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
What about the recording capabilities? I know you're going to be including a microphone in this.
And I understand is it a stereo microphone? Is that correct?
Well, we have gone back and forth on that many, many times. As it stands today, it's built-in stereo microphones. And the recording quality, we've paid attention to that a lot better than we did last time. When it's first released, it's going to be pretty much, you know, it's going to work like the old one did, where you can make a recording. But one of the things we want to do is also allow you to adjust the sample rates and any of the audio parameters, the compression, so that you'll be able to get a lot better recordings. And we've done a better job at isolating any kind of noise out of here. I think a lot of us heard that funny podcast where that guy up in Canada left the BookPort in his locker recording, and it was a Halloween prank, and some kids set off a smoke bomb. And it
yeah.
made a great recording, but you could tell it could have been a lot better.
Sure, sure. Okay.
So, yeah, we right now we've got stereo mics in it.
Okay. Let's go ahead and open up the phone lines, and then we'll continue, of course, asking questions. But I know
some questions coming in on MSN.
Okay.
Well,
we've had a caller here waiting for a while, and
okay. Well, let's do that first.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello. What is the advantage of the different kind of card? Because I was hoping I could take my old BookPort stuff and play it on my new BookPort stuff. What is the advantage of the CF card over the other over the CF card?
Okay.
And you can answer me offline.
Okay, great. Thanks. Go ahead, Larry.
A couple of advantages. It's smaller. They're becoming cheaper. And the main thing is the CF cards are becoming more expensive. They're being phased out, so we really need to stay with what's out there in the market to keep the prices where they need to be. What you can do, though, you'll be able to buy a card reader for your computer if you don't already have one. As a matter of fact, you may, I don't know if this will happen the first day this thing's released, but there is a possibility you could actually plug a card reader directly into the BookPort and let it read it. But
oh, wow.
The day it is released, for sure, you would be able to plug it into your computer and just copy them over to the SD card on the new BookPort. All the file formats are exactly the same.
Okay, we have another caller. Let's bring the caller in, and then we'll take the MSN questions. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, this is Mike Kingston out in California. Hi, Larry, how are you?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike, great. Nice to hear from you.
It's getting late for you back there.
Yeah.
Have a question. We talked about this a bit last October. Wanted to see if you had thought about it anymore, and that is regarding the whole concept of the BookPort transfer software and dealing with protected files such as Audible files, or now as we get into digital rights management and OverDrive, and the whole ability to be able to do a lot of the transfer process on a PC before it actually goes to the BookPort. Specifically, Could something be done so that the license management part of, say, dealing with Audible files, much less dealing with now OverDrive and so on, could be handled in the software, so that if there is file preparation at any point, the file could be prepared, compressed if that's going to be done, or handled and managed completely before it goes to the book port and before you even connect the book port, so that the software on a PC handles it all.
Okay, Mike, we're going to let you listen on the air, okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
We've go ahead, Larry. Thought a lot about that, actually, and probably, yeah, we'll eventually do that. I don't have a timeline, and what Michael's referring to here is, you know, when you have the current book port hooked up to the PC right now, it's using up the battery on your book port. I don't think it uses it much, but it's just the principle of the thing. So he's saying, you know, prepare the file and then hook up the book port and just send it over already prepared, so you don't have to wait for the preparation step. So yeah, that we do want to do that. I can't say that we've made a great deal of progress on that. I didn't want to take the cheap way out, but we thought the problem was somewhat lessened by the fact that with the book port 2, you're not actually draining your batteries while you're connected, and in fact you can use the device while it's connected. So you know, that problem sort of became a lot less important than it was with the book port 1. And as you know, we don't currently support protected WMA, but as with the Icon, which by the way is what OverDrive and NetLibrary are using, as with the Icon, though, we'd have to be crazy not to be thinking about that. We're very actively pursuing the addition of those kinds of codecs. So I hope that answers your question, Michael. And, Jeff, I don't know, just out of the interest of our audience, you probably tell people who Michael is. We had the honor of having him as a keynote speaker at last year's annual meeting.
That's right. And he's been on the Marlena show, he's of course the gentleman who was in involved
Michael
with
Hinkson.
9/11. So, and he was just in the news all about his guide dog retiring, actually.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. Larry, I had a quick question, and then we'll take a question from MSN. We do have a caller, but we'll ask the caller to hold on. Is it going to be possible that you're going to bring the RSS reader and the podcatching application to the desktop inside of Bookport Transfer, so that similar to your Spider crawler, you can transfer that data to the Bookport too?
Well, we sure want to, Jeff. Sure do. I can't say that we've made a lot of progress in that area. Actually, Michael McDonald started working on that application and got sidetracked on the RSS reader for the Icon and Braille Plus. And boy, what an application, though. I would love to have that same thing on the Windows desktop. It is made for getting through some RSS feeds and some podcasts. It's very exciting.
Well, it's written in Python, right? It should be able to be cross-platform. So...
Yeah, there's user interface elements that are very different, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, WX widgets, you know, something like that.
Yep.
Okay, exactly. Go ahead, Daryl. You want to ask a question for MSN? We'll take one, and then we'll go to the call.
Okay, Marlena has another one.
Okay, go ahead.
Wants to know, when the book port 2 is released, will it support the new NLS digital audio codecs for
great question.
Digital audio books?
Well, that's a tricky question. It will. I don't know if it will the day it's released, because I actually think we'll probably be out there before NLS has finalized and has anything available.
Yeah.
So, it will support it. I can't give you an exact date, but I think you can look at the history of APH and NLS and reading devices like this and know that we're going to support that. We're going to do everything possible to make that happen. I don't know if it's going to be there the day it comes out or not.
All right.
For that part.
Okay, let's bring the caller in here, and then we'll bring up the next question. You have more questions on MSN, right, Daryl?
I have plenty. We've actually picked up on the MSN.
Okay, good. Well, then let's bring our caller in, and we'll kind of alternate between the two, if that's all right. Okay, hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, Jeff. My name is Stacy Robinson.
Hello, Stacy.
Great show tonight. I'm calling from Tennessee, and this is the first time I've tuned in quite a while.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. I just had one question for Larry. What accessories will come with the Bookport 2? And he already answered my other question about not knowing about price or definite release date.
Okay. Can we let you listen on the air?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Thank you, Stacy, for calling in.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Larry.
It'll come with, I don't know if you want to call a battery an accessory, but of course it'll come with a battery, but it'll come with an AC charger, and, well, actually, I think it will. We're not even sure yet if we're going to supply the the USB cable or the charger or both. I know will come with the USB cable. But the charger probably most likely will be in the box as well. Reason being that you can charge it, from your computer. But I know, the first thing people say is, well, what if you don't have a computer? Well, I got news for you. If you don't have a computer, you ain't going to be using the Bookport. I mean, that's how you get your material there. Oh, unless somebody charges it up for you or loads it up for you, which we actually have had librarians telling us that some of them have set these up in some of the schools, so a student will check out a book and they'll load it onto a Bookport and loan them the Bookport and, right with the book. But let's see, carrying case is another possibility. This stuff isn't finalized yet, so that's one of the things I was kind of laughing at all the hype about Bookport 2. I really wish I had more concrete about it, but it's a dynamic project right now, changing very, very quickly every day.
Are you going to have one at CSUN, Larry?
You know what? I'm going to have a model of one.
Okay.
To show you the size and the keyboard and the SD and all that.
Okay.
But it doesn't work yet.
Oh,
yeah.
So I can't take it home, huh, Larry?
Oh, well, yeah, you can take that one.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't want to know that.
You are really bad, man.
Oh.
I would have bought you dinner if you gave me a Bookport 2 to take home.
At least, yeah.
Oh, I'll give you a hard time. Okay, Daryl, you want to ask another question, and then we'll bring the caller in.
Yeah, let's ask a question from Caroline Congdon, who asks about the user-replaceable battery, rechargeable battery. What happens if you lose your battery? And will there be some kind of module similar to the old APH tape recorders that will allow someone to use regular batteries as well?
This thing is actually too small for regular batteries. A AAA may fit in there. I'm not sure. It would even be tight. But you will be able to purchase batteries as replacements.
Are they standard batteries that you could get elsewhere, or would they have to come from APH?
That have to come from APH. It is a custom battery, unfortunately. I recognize the appeal of a standard battery, but there just wasn't anything that worked just right in this platform. We are thinking about one additional thing that isn't exactly like the little cage that you put four AA's and throw it into your handy cassette, and that is a little container that would hold a couple of AA's and plug into your USB port and provide the juice that way.
So that's an option.
It wouldn't fit inside it, but it would still give you the capability to use standard alkaline batteries.
And thanks for writing, Caroline.
Okay, let's bring our caller in and welcome them to Main Menu Live. Hello, caller, and welcome.
Hello, just another retread here, but I did have three or four very bullet questions. First of all, I do want to ask, did you get the stereo channelization straightened out in Bookport 2?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, next
yeah,
one?
Yeah, was interesting hearing that stuff. And how big of a speaker are we talking about with something this thin? I mean, I understand we're not talking Major League Fidelity, but what kind of, can you say a little more about the speaker?
It's about the size of a dime. It's tiny. It's got to be tiny to fit in this thing.
Yeah, of course. So it's rather like the ear. It's rather like the earpiece, if you will, that's built into the icon. Would you say?
Yeah. Well, yeah,
along the same.
It's more like what you'd find on a cell phone. So you can hear the speech on your cell
phone. So you can put your ear up to it, basically.
No, you can hear it sitting on the table in front of you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know how you can hear it. You can hold.
Now the icon. Just to come back to the icon briefly, I take it is that is that operating at the 802.11b and not G?
It is currently operating at B. We have plans to move to G, but I don't have a time frame.
We need WPA support, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And would you say that basically the difference between the Icon and the Icon Braille Plus is basically the greater facility with Braille, but otherwise they're pretty similar? I mean,
sure,
you say you're
exactly
kind of collaborating, but it looks like you're competing in a way.
No, this is actually still Level Star manufactures this product, so they're not competing against themselves. We just offered them some expertise in Braille and some manpower, and they built a machine to our specifications. We're not competing at all. It's all running the exact same software. We're all working together on it.
Okay, so it's just so the Braille Plus is just really just a greater facility with Braille. It just has more keys and.
The software runs on both of them. But, yeah, we don't even really want to think of this. This industry is too small to have two big players competing against each other that way.
Yeah.
That
would be my thought. I mean, I just brought an Icon, and I'm saying, well, gee, what did I miss out not getting the Icon Plus, Because you've got people with Icons out there already.
That brings up a good question. Can you upgrade to the Icon Plus? If you own an Icon already?
I don't think so. You could get the Braille docking station, though.
Okay.
And that would, the only disadvantage is it'd be a little bigger.
Okay.
It wouldn't be any bigger than what's already out there.
All right. We're going to let you go so we can get another caller in, okay? All right. Thanks for calling in. 866-400-5333. 866-400. Jeff, go ahead, Daryl, with another question from MSN.
Another MSN question. This one is from Peter. Will the new BookPort 2 support the high capacity, the SDHC cards? And I'd also like to ask about a question of my own. As I understand that in addition to the 512 meg card that's supplied, this may have some internal memory as well. Is that right?
We're actually not even going to supply a card with this one. There will be an undetermined amount of internal flash, probably 256 or 512 MB. And
wow.
You just put whatever card you want into the external slot. I don't think we're going to be supporting that format out of the door, but that's certainly something in the possibilities for upgrades.
Certainly, if it's only 256, it would be a decrease from what's provided in BookPort 1. I got a 512 card with mine.
Yeah. I don't know what the size is going to be yet. This stuff changes on a weekly basis.
Yeah, daily basis. Okay.
So, and we have some questions from email as well when you want to get to those. So.
Oh, great. Okay.
I did want to bring up the point that the upgrades to BookPort are really painless. We have some software that will either automatically check anytime you hook up your BookPort or let you do it on demand, and it just goes out there and says either yes or no, there's an update available, and you can either read about it or just download it and install it. Well, you don't even do anything. You just say yes, and it downloads it and installs it for you.
That's great. Okay, Daryl, you can get that question ready, and we're going to take this caller, and then we'll get your question. We'll do the round-robin thing. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hey, Larry, this is Rick in Boise. Got a question. You just kind of touched on it. I love the way the firmware updates are handled in the BookPort. Is the icon going to be the same?
Sure is. Yep. There's an option in the utilities menu to check check for software updates. And
great.
Okay, anything else, Rick?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, great. 866-400-5333. Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, these questions are from Dean. And number one is, will any features of the current device be absent in the new device, specifically text search, Braille data entry, or alarms? We know that the Braille data entry is provided, but you may want to speak to the other.
I couldn't understand the first one.
Okay. Will there be features that are currently in the existing Bookport that will be absent from Bookport 2?
I got that part. I couldn't understand his first.
Text search, the Braille data entry, and alarms.
I can't think of anything in Bookport 2 that is absent. Well, you know, you
except
just,
the memory.
Yeah, if that comes to be, let's not start big rumors.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But no, I can't think of anything that won't be in the new Bookport.
Okay. Daryl, there's been I just got a personal IM here. Can you, while we bring up the next caller here, there's a number of people who are attempting to be added to the main menu MSN. So could you look at that and then while we're taking the call here?
Let's see what we
Terrell is trying to be added. But let's bring our caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Good evening, guys.
Hello there.
I have an icon, and I am attached at the hip to it.
All right.
I love being able to grab the newspapers in the morning. If you could just get it to deliver breakfast to the bed, I'd be set. But just kind of a general observation between the icon and the Bookport. Have you guys found that, the past couple of years between Bookshare and Audible and everything, that your reading has become more selective? Instead of reading what's out there, you're more able to read what you want?
Isn't that an awesome thing to be able to say? Between those services and this device, reading has become a reality for us. We can read like real people read now.
Yeah, very specialized interest. You're going to find it. You're going to be able to take it with you and play it. And it's just great. I mean, it's life-changing.
It is.
That's great. Do you have any specific questions for Larry tonight?
No, I just wanted to say keep up the good work. And like I said, if get the icon to deliver breakfast, we're set.
All right, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. Daryl, do you have any more emails or MSNs?
Okay, first of all, on the MSN, I do not see any more requests to add, so if anybody has not been added, I would ask that you go ahead and remove main menu at acbradio.org and add us back, and I will make sure I will watch for them again.
Okay, thanks, Daryl.
And then we also have another question from Dean.
Okay, go right ahead.
And He would like to know as much as possible about the recording capability, perhaps comparing with a machine like the DS50. And I think if you want, let me know, Larry, if you'd like to talk about that any further. I know we talked about possible stereo microphones and adjusting the audio quality parameters. Will it include a microphone jack?
It sure will. I didn't mention that. Sure will.
And it's stereo?
That I don't know yet.
That was kind of mentioned before, I think.
I want it to be stereo, yeah.
All right. And then how will battery life compare with the current unit?
Oh, I meant to talk about battery life. I'm very pleasantly surprised at how this rechargeable system delivers. We're talking about probably 16 to 20 continuous hours of audio, and as with the Bookport 1, you get more time than that if you're using the synthesized speech. So we're talking probably in the order of 40 plus hours on a charge of continuous reading with the synthesized speech. So this is really the kind of device that you might actually be able to carry it around with you all week and charge it on Saturday night or whatever. I don't see that it's going to be necessary to do it every day. Probably in the worst case, it might be in every other or every 3-day kind of situation where you have to charge it. But, 40-plus hours of continuous reading.
That's a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're actually getting, you know, that we're getting 60 from the alkaline, or we claim 60. I think it's better than that even. But I don't really consider that a drawback for this one because, you know, you're having to buy alkaline batteries.
And sure.
This one, you're just recharging them.
So, okay, let's bring in our caller here. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, it's John Melia from Philadelphia. How you doing?
Hello, John. How can we help you tonight?
Larry, first of all, I really do like the book port, and my question is, a person is trying to save their pennies and don't have very many of them. If you were to get the Icon, will that do everything that the Bookport 2 will do?
I would say that it doesn't do it as good today. Someday it will, one would hope fairly quickly. I will say, too, that the Bookport 2 is currently got a higher transfer speed, so if that's really important to you, that's a consideration. I can't really think of anything that the Icon couldn't be made to do that the Bookport 2 does.
Will the Icon eventually support the NLS files when they finally figure out what they're going to use?
Yeah.
I really like the book port, and thanks a lot for your show, guys. Have a good evening.
Sure. Okay.
All right, and my wife just got back here, so things are kind of a little crazy here. Anyway, all right. We have
MSN question.
Oh, okay, let's bring that in. Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions from Matthew and Peter asking which synthesizer is going to be used in the book port, too.
Same one, double tone.
Will there be other options?
I didn't really want to talk about this, but you know what? We all want a book port that does everything. We can put any speech on it. We can put any book on it, you know, speed it up, slow it down, and, you know, just do anything. But the fact is, that kind of machine is going to cost a lot more than $395. So what we plan to do is come out with Bookport 2, which is a compromise from the ideal thing where you could put, you know, any kind of speech on it and have all the power in the world to do anything. And maybe even start looking towards a Bookport 3 that would be a deluxe model that might cost a few hundred dollars more. And, you know, then, you know, when we see that, you know, ask, will it do this, will it do that? Yeah, it will, but you'll have to pay for it. And, you know, cost is, we're very aware of the cost. You know, this stuff is too expensive already. I really hoped that the Bookport 1 would have come down in price over the years, but several things kept that from happening. I really feel uncomfortable about introducing a device, you know, like this for that kind of money that we're talking. So somewhere there has to be some compromises in the speed things happen maybe, or some features. You know, give us a few more years when the hardware scenery changes a little bit, and yeah, maybe we can have a device out there for the price we want and the exact features we want. We think we're offering a reasonable compromise with Bookport 2.
Larry, are you still selling the Bookport 1 now, or are you sort of telling customers, you know, wait and for the July window to purchase the Bookport 2?
We are still selling them, but quantities are limited, so if there's something about the Bookport 1 that you're really tied to, that would be the time to order one.
Give them a call tomorrow.
I'm not sure they're going to last till July.
Okay. All right. Let's bring in our caller. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi there.
Hello.
I have a couple of Bookport questions.
Okay.
First of all, is the Bookport 2 still going to use the same speech as the Bookport 1?
And secondly, I wanted to find out, in the current book port, when you do audio files, you can really only play the battery down to about 29%, and then it says replace the batteries. I would assume when you said 16 to 20 hours, that means audio as in music audio?
Yep.
And that's my questions.
What was the first one again? I'm sorry.
About the speech, which we've already answered. Which,
what speech is included? Yeah. Okay, all right.
We have a question.
So, Jeff, while we've been talking, I just downloaded a Blind Cool Tech with the podcast reader.
Oh, great.
So I just wanted to kind of show you this interface a little bit.
Okay.
So we're in Blind Cool Tech. There's 40 new articles. And we can look at these, and if you want to play it, you just hit the select key.
Hi, this is Rick Harmon, and today...
Of course, you can quit and get back to your menu, but you press the left arrow to back out and look at your other feeds.
And I wish I could have that on the PC. Sounds like an easy app to use.
Oh, here's NBC Nightly News. And then, of course, your RSS feeds are in there, too, so you can, we've got a news category, and we got them subcategorized. There's general, and then all the general ones are CNN. Well, we've got errors on that one. So we had a, there's nine new ones in CNN, and you just open it. And then if you want to read it, you just press select. Of course, you just press cancel to get back to your list. So that's kind of how the interface works. It's really, well, it's, you'd have to see it. Very nice.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, we have another caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello, this is Mike in St. Louis. Larry, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I used your product actually back in the ASAP days. That was such a great screen reader.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
And a couple of questions on the Bookport, too. I actually own a Bookport and a Book Courier, actually. I have both of them. I was wondering, I had a couple of questions, and then I'll hang up and... could answer them, and I'll listen on the air. That's fine. First off, are you guys still going with Springer Design to kind of do the hardware for you? And secondly, I'm glad you guys decided to stick with the double talk. I know speech is very subjective, but Larry, I'm actually a big fan of the double talk, and I think you've always been a fan of that also.
Certainly am.
Yeah, it's great speech. It's not the most human sounding as far as, you know, compared to like natural voices or the real speak, but really for what it does, it's not bad. I actually like it. And my other questions are, there was an issue with the Bookport and the Book Courier also, for that matter, on certain chipsets, NVIDIA chipsets being which both of my computers are, and I'm where you plugged it into the USB port, and then you, when you disk, or it would basically hang it, you really couldn't use it without an external USB card. And I'm wondering if that's fixed in the Book Port 2. And then also, as far as sending files to it, like from Kurzweil 1000 or something like that, which is a great feature, is that going to need to be updated, or as soon as we get our Book Port 2, can we just start doing that? So that's my questions, and I'll hang up and let you answer them.
All right, thanks.
Great.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, you're sure right. Speech is a very subjective thing. We did a survey on the Bookport list here a while back asking people, we started out giving them a choice of three. What were your favorites? The Double Talk, the Deck Talk, and Eloquence. And oddly enough, it came out pretty even between all three of them.
Wow.
So I wouldn't have predicted that. I thought Eloquence was actually going to win, even though I am a big Double Talk fan. But another reason we went with the Double Talk is that it's a hardware-based synthesizer, so there's a lot less drainage on your battery when you use something like that. Besides it being, you know, a good one, I know a lot of people don't like it, but if you use this device as it's intended, you will very quickly get past the fact that you're even using a synthesizer. You know, the stories, the characterization as you're reading, you know, you'll see and hear, I guess your mind does some kind of translation where the speech doesn't really matter that much anymore, you know?
Well, Karen does not like to read text on the book port, but she likes to listen to audio and says that the speech is an issue.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we do offer now is the ability to run, you know, the text through a Sappy 5 synthesizer on your PC so that
true.
You can run it through and listen to it that way.
And that's handled through the transfer software, and that's available in the Bookport 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see, what was his other
question? Oh, the NVIDIA question.
And the NVIDIA.
Yeah.
Well, good news is the K1000, you know, we worked very closely with them to get that feature into their software, and we intend to keep it working with the Bookport, too. So the plan is that, yeah, that'll be a seamless transition.
So is that backward compatible, Larry, or will they require a change?
We hope they won't. The plan is now that anything that will transfer software, you know, we'll transfer to the one, we'll go to the two. You know, we've got an API written, and we don't expect anything's going to change in that whole thing. So it should work. You'll have to install the new Bookport software for the Bookport 2.
Sure,
course,
sure,
but.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the chipset, that has been a problem. Fortunately, it's been a very small problem, and there's a certain chipset of USB that we will not, the Bookport isn't compatible with, and what we've been doing to solve it for the short term is send people a USB card, actually. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a mess, but we think we've got a handle on that on the new one. So hopefully that'll be going away.
that may be resolved since you're now USB 2.0 compliant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's bring our next caller in, and I think you actually have some more emails or MSNs, right, Daryl?
I do.
Okay, we'll get to those in just a second. Hello, caller, and welcome to May Menu Live.
Hey, Jeff, Larry, Daryl, this is Rick Harmon. How you doing?
Hey, the Rickster. How's it going?
Crime
there.
Hey, I love the Bookport. And my question is...
Well, it loves you too, Rick.
Anybody, yeah. Is anybody that buys one, say, you know, like in the last month or maybe now, if they bought one, is there any upgrade path to the Bookport too? Any kind of trade-in policies or anything?
Great question.
That's a great question. I think, unfortunately, we don't have anything in the works to do that because it's basically, you know, it's the same kind of situation when you buy an iPod and, you know, next month a new one comes out. We are giving you, you know, fair warning that a new one's coming out. You might want to wait, but we don't have an upgrade path in place. I think the best solution there would be to... you know, sell it to somebody on the used
sell it
market.
On eBay.
There you go. Save your pennies, Rick.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, Rick.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good talking with you.
Bye.
Okay, Daryl, go ahead if you have any questions there.
Okay. Yes. Chris asks, he says, I heard that there were some issues with the headphone jack on the Bookport 1, which we haven't experienced here. But anyway, he says, is that still an issue? On Bookport 2, do the headphone jacks break, and are they easily fixed?
I am really surprised to hear that because we've had very few headphone jack problems with with this device. In fact, if you'll remember the Roadrunner, which was the predecessor to the Bookport, it had a fairly flimsy earphone jack. In fact, I think I went through three or four of them with it. The guy back there, one of our hardware guys, in fact, finally ended up buying a box of them.
Wow.
Keep Larry supplied in earphone jacks for his Roadrunner. But never have I broken one on a Bookport 2. We went through a lot of extra pain and expense to get sort of a heavy-duty earphone jack. And, honestly, I'm not aware that that's a problem. Now, Chris is probably going to say, well, I've had to send mine in twice, so I don't know the specifics of the situation. But,
surprised. Well, with like anything, you know, it's possible that you know, anything's going to have a defect, you know, with the thousands that you've sent out.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
All right, let's bring in our next caller. We're almost near the top of the hour, so we're only going to be able to take one or two more calls here. And
and I still have more MSN to go.
All right, great. We may shut the lines down here in a couple minutes here and let us get through some of those. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi, this is great. You guys need another Daryl so we can have Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. Anyway, I was wondering, I'm an avid Bookport user myself, and I was wondering about the keypad layout or the feel of the keypad for the new unit. Is it going to be the same with the rubberized keys and so on and the large RAM keys?
Great question.
Yeah.
I'll take it off there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Whatever.
The Bookport 2 is exactly the same keyboard as Bookport 1. It's been a pretty effective one and a good, durable one. It can take a... Well, I'm not even going to say it can take a spill, but it can take a good amount of abuse.
Well, Larry, now, you know, you've added the ability to take notes on the Bookport, and have you added any revisions to the Bookport 2 to better facilitate, you know, placing the unit on a table, you know?
Yes, we sure have. The belt clip is not on the back of the unit anymore. It'll be on the case for the unit. So you'll just take it out of its case and put it on the desk, and it'll be flat.
Okay, Daryl, do you want to go ahead and ask some more questions, and we'll see if we get any more calls in here.
We have another one from Marlena. She would like to know which Audible book formats will the Bookport and or the Icon Braille Plus play. Is it only format 4, or will it play some of the other formats as well?
Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you like your quality, it's still just format 4, which it would cost, it would end up adding a lot of expense to the price of the product to support 1, 2, and 3, and as far as I know, every book in the Audible library is available on 4 as well as the other formats, so, you know, the only real issue is the size of the files, and, you know, I'm not, frankly, I know there's other people with different opinions, but I don't see that as a high priority for us to spend our limited resources on at the moment.
Right.
Okay.
I'm more interested in getting the NLS support and the RFBND and getting all that going for the Icon and adding the WMA and eventually the protected WMA for the Bookport and Icon too.
Okay, I think we have time for one more caller. Let's bring the caller in, and then we'll focus on the remaining MSN questions if we have time. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. I have two questions.
Okay.
One, Net Library uses PDF a lot. My library doesn't have any Audible on Net Library, but PDF. And so will this handle Adobe Reader at all? And then secondly, can't you add different synthesizers besides Double, and I'll listen off the phone? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I didn't even hear the second question. What was the second one?
The second one was about synthesizers again, what options will be available. And I know you had said that future models will have that in a higher priced platform. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bookport 2 is going to be double talk.
Okay. Okay. And you want to...
Better or worse.
Right. And what about the PDF issue?
Boy, that is something that we need to do, and we don't have it done yet. probably won't be in the very first release of Bookport 2 either. But at some point, we have had plans for quite a while to do that. Sort of one thing that's made it not quite as urgent is that at least the Adobe Reader is able to read them now. And you know, when we started on this project, that wasn't the case, so it was a much higher priority. But there's still going to be some PDFs that nothing's going to read. I hope your callers understand, because you know, some people can actually create these documents with pictures of pages, and you know, accessible Adobe Reader, or nothing's going to read those. You actually have to perform OCR on them. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you ought to get together with Jamal or something and get some of that code from PDF to TXT on into the Bookport transfer software, and I think
isn't that the most amazing way to read a PDF I've ever seen?
Unbelievable.
I don't even mind seeing a PDF anymore.
It's been a job saver for me, literally.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Me too.
Okay, I've been...
It doesn't do protected PDF, though, does it?
Does some. Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of the luck of the draw, depending on how it's been encrypted and things like that. But
yeah, but I have not come across one it won't do yet.
That's great.
Awesome.
Okay, well, I've went ahead and closed the line, so for those of you who are attempting to call into the show, you should now be receiving a busy signal, so we can wrap up the remaining questions that have come in through MSN, and we have about 4 minutes or so, Daryl, or three. So do you have any more questions on the MSN side?
Actually, we're done.
Oh, we're done. Okay, good. So, Larry, we're almost done here, and we wanted to give you now an opportunity to give any last-minute comments and contact information, and if you know your booth number at CSUN, that would be good to give out for those that will be attending CSUN.
Sure do. We are actually going to be the same place we've been the last few years. I apologize for not remembering the number, but we are pretty easy to find because you just come off the escalator, go in that first door, and we're right there on the right, the first door into the convention hall.
Okay.
We are at APH.org is our website. The software is at APH.org/tech. I did want to mention, you know, the show was about new products from APH, and we never even really got to a pretty exciting aspect of that, and that is our Book Wizard Producer has been released, and we also have some new verbal view tutorials about the Internet. Now, Book Wizard Producer is a tool that we actually have been using in-house for several years to produce digital talking books. And now you have that capability to do it yourself with this product. You can either create, one of my favorite things to do with it is to create a DTB out of an HTML file. In fact, we've converted all our manuals and our software. We supply you both the HTML file and a digital talking book version of it, and it's a fully automated process provided your HTML is well marked up.
That's great.
But you can also do audio recordings directly in Book Wizard Producer and give all the appropriate markup either as you're making the recording, or you can go back and easily add your navigation points and text labels if you want. Just create a fully compliant Z3986 digital talking book.
That's awesome. Well, maybe you can sit down with you at CSUN and record an interview all about the other new products and feature that in early April on Main Menu.
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, guys. Well, we're about, unless, of course, my computer clock, which has been known to jump about 4 minutes into the future.
We got about 3 minutes to go.
Yeah, about 3 minutes to go here. So if you guys will hold on 1 second, I'll give some closing comments here, and Larry will talk with you and Daryl in just a second.
Thanks for coming on, Larry.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Larry.
Thank you,
very, very, very much.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yep.
You usually don't stay up till 11 o'clock at night.
I know. Thank you so much for doing that. And
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been fun.
Thank you, Larry, very, very
thanks
much.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, hold on 1 second if you can. We'd like to thank very, very much Larry Skukan for coming on to Main Menu Live this week to talk to us all about
the Icon Braille Plus, as well as the new Bookport 2. We'll have this up available on demand in the next hour or so, available via podcast feed, as well as on the on-demand archives. So look for them on the archives, or let people know that they'll be soon available. Coming up next week on Main Menu Live, we're going to be talking to you all about CSUN. You'll have an opportunity to call in and ask any questions that you would like us to research at CSUN. So get your questions ready, call in and talk to us. It's going to be open phones during that segment. So we're excited that we're going to be able to provide you an opportunity to get your questions to us as we travel the next day to CSUN in Los Angeles. We'll hear from Marlena Lieberg and a number of others that we can possibly get a hold of at CSUN live on the show. And so we're looking forward to that. We're going to try to bring Randy Knapp on that week as well and have him talk to us about what his goals and objectives will be for CSUN and maybe talk a little bit of hardware tech as well.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.